1-800-361-3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
The Florida Georgia Truth Network. Listen in Orange Park at 91.7. Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We're delighted to have you join us today. Always looking forward to your dialogue and discussion on the issue of the day. We're going to be talking about a subject today that is timely. Why the cross? Why the cross? Or if you want it a little clearer, why did Jesus have to die on a cross? Now, you may not have ever asked that question, but some have. There's some today that are challenging the cross. Some are looking at it as a mythological fantasy of Christians. We have those today around the world, and especially in America, where we find holy days like Christmas and Thanksgiving and Easter. I know there's some want to challenge the term Easter. Put that aside for a moment. Some prefer to call it Resurrection Sunday. That's fine. But multitudes today, even as Christians, think that Christmas and Thanksgiving and Easter, the holy days that we have as Christians, look at it simply as a day to be off, a day to simply lounge around and watch football or other sports, and to eat too much, not recognizing the purpose that that special holy day is set aside. We're talking about why the cross. Generally, ladies and gentlemen, everyone will view these special times as just a time to be off. But when we talk about Easter, Resurrection Sunday, just around the corner, I believe we need to realize just what the cross of Jesus was all about. Now, the cross is something today that's worn around the neck as a decoration piece. Multitudes will have a cross earrings, a cross pendant, a cross that in some fashion, some carry a cross in the pocket, called a pocket cross. What's the cross a symbol of? Is it a symbol of beauty? Is it a symbol to be looked at as, boy, I like that cross? How should we view the cross? We're going to talk about that today, and I'd love to hear from you. What are your thoughts? I'll give you the telephone number right after a brief monologue. We'll talk about that. 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Ladies and gentlemen, we face the issues each and every day. As we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. The Lord Jesus himself, speaking to his disciples, said this, John 8:31-32, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. He says, you're my disciples indeed. The word indeed means truly, surely, actually. So listen, those two verses, if you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, truly, surely. You are an indication of your being a disciple, a follower of me, Jesus says, is if you continue in my word. And as we continue in the word, Jesus says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further, ladies and gentlemen, in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about truth. thy word is truth, the scripture says. Psalms 117, verse 2, the scripture says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. So I don't know about you, but I'm thankful that the truth of the Lord Jesus Christ never ends, never changes. It's always true. And I have said several times, truth matters. It makes a difference. It is not something that can be bifurcated or changed. It is truth. It was the secularist George Orwell that said, the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we find that to be factually true, if I can use that, factually true today. You can be in a crowd with a group of people or with one other person. You talk about truth when it comes to political issues. You can talk about the truth about what is happening with the Oval Office today. You can talk about truth with what is taking place on the southern border today. You can talk about truth in relationship to what's taking place with the prosecutions against Donald Trump and what is not true. And you'll have those that will want to be a little angst and angry in relationship to what you say. In fact, I'm surprised and saddened at the same time, ladies and gentlemen, that according to the latest survey, 55% of the millennials today, that's the 18 to 35-year-old age group, do not believe in, do not recognize, do not embrace truth. This is the statement they make. Each person determines his or her own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, I've said many times, and you've heard me say before, and at the risk of redundancy, I'll say again, a half-truth is a whole lie. You can't take a half-truth and make it a truth. It is not truth. I am concerned because I'm looking at a quote from former Senator, U.S. Senator Jim DeMint. The headline says, DeMint warns America's decline is linked to the death of truth. He says, in part, truth is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values, which are the foundation of Western civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity in our churches. Ladies and gentlemen, I go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus made a powerful statement. I've used it for years and years and years. May I repeat his statement once again? Faithful Christians, seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth, even to death. And he lived that. He, speaking of Jan Hus, when he was being burned at the stake, burned alive at the stake, he screamed out in his final words, truth shall prevail. And may I say to you today, this world that we're living in looks dark, it's evil, it's wicked, looks as though it is imploding, but truth shall prevail. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of today's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for Time. Tools for Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for Time carries the full line of homeowner brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for Time has a knowledgeable staff. They can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old San Augustine Road. It's right at the intersection of I-295, Beltway, and Old San Augustine Road. There's a benchmark and identifier. There's a 165-foot flagpole on the campus of Tools for Time. There's a gigantic American flag flowing at the top of that flagpole. Find the flag, the flagpole, the base of that flagpole. You'll find the home of Tools for Time. But wait, wait, wait. There's some good news. Tools for Time are now hiring all positions. House and grounds maintenance, mechanics and technicians, inside and outside sales, customer service representatives, and much, much more. Tools for Time is a great place to work. It's a family-friendly, oriented environment that you're working in. Just drop by Tools for Time, make an application for employment, wait for an interview, see what God does, placing you in the home, in the family of Tools for Time. ToolsForTime.com. ToolsForTime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, I have with me today Dr. Glenn Davis, hailing from up in Georgia. I am thankful that Dr. Davis is with me today as we talk about this very, very important subject of the cross. It's the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Why the cross is the theme of this issue discussion today. Dr. Davis, delighted to have you with us.
Man, thank you so much, Dr. Youngblood. First, I give honor to God the Father, who's the head of my life in the Lord Jesus Christ, and I honor, amen, my bride of now 38 years. Praise God. Thank God for you. Love you so much. Thank God for all of our family and friends that are listening in on today. And certainly we hope that being that we are approaching the Easter season, we are about to enter what is called our observation of Resurrection Sunday. We certainly hope that you will be able to draw something from what we are discussing today concerning the cross of Jesus Christ and come to realize that everybody has a cross to bear because Christ died on a cross. The hymn says, must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? And it came back and answered that question. It said, no, there's a cross for everyone and there's a cross for me. So as soon as we realize that, we'll start being able to live a life that's more fulfilling, because we have to realize that as Christians, we signed up to suffer with Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Now, so many people want all the best part, which mm-hmm. is the blessings, but they don't want the suffering.
Right.
But we have to come to realize that that comes along with the package.
Yes.
Now, sin came as a body of work, Dr. Youngblood. When people sit down and try to start a business, you have to put a body of work together. Mm-hmm. In other words, mm-hmm. if you want your business to be successful, you have to have a business plan. In other words, when we look at the plan that God put together to destroy the body of work created by sin, the only thing that would help us was the blood of Jesus Christ. So therefore, now we see the necessity for the cross. If it had not been for Christ dying on the cross, shedding his rich red royal blood, the Bible tells us we would still be enslaved in our sin.
In our sin. And one of the things, Pastor, that you brought out, we all must bear a cross. Jesus says, take up your cross and follow me.
Amen.
Now, one of the things, Dr. Davis, said, I found multitudes do not recognize. For example, I've heard say, well, you know, I've got a husband that is not right with the Lord. I've got kids that are running astray. I reckon that's my cross to bear. Now, that's not what that term, take up your cross and follow me. The cross is a symbol, an emblem of death.
Amen.
So the Word of God is saying we need to die to self and follow Jesus Christ. And if we're dying to self, that means we're sold out and surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ. That is our focus, not on self, not on selfishness, not on what I want, but what Christ wants for me.
Amen.
I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we need to read the cross as a symbol of death and not a symbol of beauty. Now, Pastor, I found that when I touch on this subject many, many times down through the years, there are those that will think, well, you know, maybe it's a sin for me to wear earrings with a cross on it. Maybe it's a sin for me to wear a chain around my neck with a cross on it. Maybe I ought not to have a cross hanging on the wall in my living room, et cetera, et cetera. It's not what I'm saying at all. But I think that we have lost sight in American culture where there is a sense of plenty, American culture where there's a sense of what I call glitz and glitter, that somehow, some way, the cross is a symbol of beauty. It is not a symbol of beauty.
Amen.
It is a symbol of the death. It is a symbol of a horrific form of dying. And the Romans, in the era that Jesus was in this world, in that era, the Romans had perfected a cruel, horrific death. That was death by the cross. The Romans had developed that and used death of crucifixion as the most cruel form of punishment that could be delivered to mankind. So when we think of the cross, I want us to look at it in the eyes of the truth of the Scripture. I want us to look at, ladies and gentlemen, what is the cross? What is it for? Perhaps you have questions about the cross. Perhaps you have questions about why did Jesus die on the cross. Perhaps you have questions today, as I have heard others ask, couldn't we have been saved some other way other than Jesus dying on the cross? There are those that will reject the cross. There are those that refuse. We'll talk about that in a moment. There are those in society today that simply refuse to recognize and embrace the cross. In fact, in the eyes of the world, the cross is rejected because of what it stands for. And so we're going to talk about that. Love to have you join into the dialogue and discussion. Again, let me give you that telephone number. It's 904-831-0917. 904-831-0917. Today, ladies and gentlemen, the political pundits, as I call them, will evade the cross. They try to remove the cross. On an occasion, several years ago, when Barack Hussein Obama was still president, he was going to be speaking at Georgetown University. In the library, I believe it was, where he was to speak, the backdrop was a cross. And the advance team for Barack Hussein Obama as president, the advance team had the university to drape the cross so that it would not be seen in the same setting with Barack Hussein Obama. So they draped the cross. Ladies and gentlemen, there's a mindset somehow that the cross needs to be covered. There's a mindset somehow that the cross needs to be rejected when it comes to what the, how would you say, the lost world sees it? When Obama spoke, the cross was not viewed, even though in that room, that was the dominant theme in that library that he was speaking from. Today in America, I believe, ladies and gentlemen, we're watching the principal symbol of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ being targeted by the secularist, the atheist, and by the humanist, and the ACLU. It's viewed, Dr. Davis, I don't understand this. There's some that view the cross as being racist.
Wow.
Racist. In fact, recently, I was reading an article that in some educational system, not all, but in general, they're now saying that math is racist. And I have never seen the beat in my life where there's a mindset that we're going to divide society by calling everything racist. But the latest was when I read an article that said that the cross is viewed as racist. That's a divisiveness that's being appropriated in the lost society in which we're living today. It's inappropriate for the secular society to embrace the cross because the cross represents Christianity. And so therefore, ladies and gentlemen, the cross is repulsed, rejected, and refused by the secular society in which we live in today. It's there's somehow, some way, the mindset, Dr. Davis, with the general public, the lost public today, that we've simply got to remove the cross from society's thinking, and the cross ought not to be prevalent at all. In fact, I've got an article in relationship to one of the things that is probably the most horrific that I have read, and it's been going on for some time. I've got an article, and I'll just touch on it briefly. Some are familiar with the Mount Soledad Cross. It's designed as a veterans memorial. It's located atop Mount Soledad. Stands a cross, first place there in 1913. It's outside of San Diego, California. The present cross stands, and I'm looking at the article, 29 feet tall, 43 feet tall, including the base, with the arms spanning some 12 foot. Since 1989, ladies and gentlemen, a constant battle to remove the cross. The legal opponents claim it's illegal to display a cross. The proponents of the removal of the Mount Soledad cross say that it's a religious symbol, and therefore a Christian cross ought not to be publicly displayed. The appeals court in 2013 ordered the cross to be removed. In June of 2014, the Supreme Court declined a review of the appeals court's decision. And may I say, ladies and gentlemen, as a result of that, there's still a battle going on. In fact, if I'm not mistaken, the follow-up on that should be that a group of investors bought the property that the cross is standing on, now rather than being a symbol that they want to take down, claiming that it's on public land and therefore should not be displayed. I think that it is now owned, that piece of property, the little square, whatever it is, a property where the Mount Soledad cross stands, is privately held. And so therefore you can put a cross on private property. Never will forget a number of years ago when, after the 9/11 event, right down here in mid Florida, where I-4 traverses the peninsula called Florida. Some of the orange groves had major signs out with crosses on them. It says, "Pray for America." That lasted for about 30, 60 days. And then some of the municipalities where those crosses were displayed ordered the owners to remove them because it was visible to the public traversing I-4 and had to be removed because it was a cross that was a symbol of Christ and Christianity. So, ladies and gentlemen, the cross stands today for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, hanging on the cross on Mount Calvary for your sins and for mine. Dr. Davis, what are your thoughts in relationship to the way the cross is viewed in disdain, the way the cross is rejected, and the way there's a mindset in our secular society that we ought not to have a cross where the public can see? When you view that, Dr. Davis, in light of what we have as symbols for the world and what the world views as their freedom of speech, the cross ought to be viewed by the Christian as our freedom of speech. So how do you juxtapose those two things, and what is the view that you think we should have as Christians today?
Well, Dr. Youngblood, there's simply no way for us to come out as a winner, no matter how we, you know, express our views pertaining to the cross. The only thing we can do is trust and depend upon the Lord to keep us, to lead us, to guide us, to take us through. Because if there's certainly one thing that totally vexes my spirit each and every year, when Easter comes around, they have so many problems with the Christians wanting to enjoy things connected to our religion that we truly believe in. Now listen, we don't worship the cross, we worship Christ.
That's right.
But it is the symbol, it is the emblem upon which our Savior died.
That's right.
So now for that reason, you know, we hold that in high esteem.
Amen.
But we sit back sometime in total silence all throughout the year while they celebrate all these degenerate holidays.
The garbage.
Right. And especially when it comes around to Halloween.
Right.
They glorify dead things. They worship the devil. Witchcraft. All these different types of things like that. They put up emblems of witches and different things like that over the stores and just about everywhere you can look. They're glorifying evil. And they expect for us to say nothing. But as soon as we start glorifying anything connected to Christ, then all of a sudden they have a problem.
And Dr. Davis, one of the things, if I can jump in for a moment, I'm always amazed that when it comes to Resurrection Sunday, Easter, when it comes to that, I'm always amazed that you have a bunny rabbit or an Easter egg that's the symbol. Now, I found that most of the merchants, most of the stores, most of the secular world, they don't have a problem with the bunny
rabbit.
Not
a problem.
They don't have a problem with the Easter egg. They don't have a problem with the Easter egg hunt. But when it comes to the cross, which is the true biblical symbol of Easter, Resurrection Sunday, they have a problem. They do not want to see the cross. Why is that so? I'm going to read a verse or two, then we're going to discuss it, Dr. Davis. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 18. I'm going to read a unit of thought, and then we're going to talk about a verse or two of it. The scripture says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of the preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, the Greeks follow after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness, but unto them, verse 24 and 25, but unto them which are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God, because the foolishness of God is wiser than men, and the weakness of God is stronger than men. Dr. Davis, I am fascinated by that unit of thought. Down through the years, I've preached it many, many, many times, and it still comes out fresh and new each and every time. But when we look at the 18th verse of that text, it is to the lost, the cross is what I call preposterous. That verse reads again, for, and is linking it with the previous statements in verse 17 and back, for, it's the little Greek word gar, because the preaching, that is the message of the cross, is to them which perish, that is to the lost, the unsaved. It's foolishness. That word foolishness, we get our word moronic. Ladies and gentlemen, I find it fascinating when you do the word study on that unit of thought. The foolishness of the cross, that word foolishness means it is nonsensical. It is preposterous. It is crazy. It is lunacy. So listen carefully. God's word is saying that the preaching of the cross to the lost world is lunacy. It's moronic. It is simply stupidity. It is preposterous. It is crazy. And that's what we see taking place today.
Amen. Amen.
The lost world, ladies and gentlemen, sees the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ as nonsensical, sees the cross as absurd, as preposterous, as being crazy. We get the word there, that word foolishness, we get the word moron, moronic. It is actually the Greek word morai, M-O-R-I-A, with the emphasis on a long O, morai, morai. It is the word moronic that we have today. So, Pastor, you know, we understand now why when the lost person sees the cross, when the lost person hears a message on the cross, when a lost person hears a Christian talking about the cross, when a lost person even sees that cross hanging around your neck as an emblem of jewelry, the lost person sees it and they see it as being preposterous, moronic. They see it as being stupidity, as crazy. They refuse to view the cross, embracing the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. They reject the cross. They laugh at the cross. The lost will ridicule the message of the cross. Why is that so? Because the lost are lost. So they do not embrace the cross. That's the reason we find, ladies and gentlemen, so much today in society where the mindset is, Christians, Pastor, I'll never be able to grasp it fully, where the you could have a person that has all the academic credentials in the world, all the learning that they can get, as it's called academically, and still, if they're lost, they're not well-trained, they're not well-educated, unless they're educated in the Scripture. And yet, because they're not, they do not view the cross as being important at all.
Amen.
They view it as being stupidity. They view it as being moronic. They view it as being preposterous. So, when we go into the world, when we recognize this Easter season, as we preach Christ being crucified, the lost world laughs at that, laughs at us. And Dr. Davis, I'm always amazed that somehow, some way, Christians will retreat from standing for truth, will retreat from taking a stand against the enemy in the world, will retreat from any conversation in relationship to the cross and the reason. Most Christians today, perhaps, ladies and gentlemen, I'm speaking to you, most Christians today are embarrassed by the cross rather than taking a stand for the preaching of the cross. The sad set of circumstances in society today, even at the Easter season, multitudes will not preach the cross from the pulpit. They might touch on it, they might say a word or two about it, but not standing for the truth of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, the lost people see the cross as being preposterous. But right after the news, we're going to talk further. The saved see the cross as powerful, according to this scripture. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take about a 1 minute top of the hour break for the news. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back as we continue to talk about why the cross.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida.